supper with Jesus, their last meal together before he was betrayed. After prayer in the garden, he was arrested, tortured and questioned until the next day. That day the mob cried out, "Crucify him." The sweet rose of Sharon was crushed on the cross. A rich man named Joseph took care of the body, while Mary and loved ones mourned their precious loss. Last night they buried the rose in the garden, the fragrance of sorrow hung thick in the air. Satan was breathing a sigh of relief, while angels were silently bearing their grief. God knew that his son would arise with great power, but for now he was waiting and counting the hours. Mary and Martha spent the third morning gathering spices and watched for sunrise. The disciples were hiding, defeated and grieving, too distraught to remember Christ said he would rise. The soldiers were sleeping outside of the grave, unaware that their prisoner was stirring inside. The stone rolled away, Jesus stepped from the darkness, the dawning of the
gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. but there was no one there but Mary. So I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. Oh, the stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran to the garden. Then John ran on ahead. And we found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, because I'd seen them crucify him. And then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. So even if he was alive, never be the same. Then suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him. Oh, but then he raised me to my feet. And as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Oh, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Day was breaking, hearts were aching, women came to Jesus' tomb. But a blessed angel message said, "Fear not, I have good news. Come and see the place where the Savior lay. He is risen and all is well. Rejoice and proclaim there's an empty grave. Come and see and believe, go and tell. Come and see and believe, go and tell." like the women in that garden. We believe he is alive. By his Spirit we declare it, for we have been raised with Christ. Come and see the place where the Savior lay. He is risen and all is well. Rejoice and proclaim there's an empty grave. Come and see and believe, go and tell. Come and see and believe, go and tell. Death is conquered, sin is defeated, the stone has been rolled away. Praise his name, the work was completed on resurrection day. He arose, he arose, hallelujah.
At this time, we're going to give an invitation song to the drama, His Life for Mine, Miss Shiloh sang. So if you need to come, you need to respond, you do so at this time.
His heart was broken, my
Aren't you glad that He gave His life for our life? What a tremendous blessing. I'm always reminded of the song, while He was on the cross, we were on His mind. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You don't have to clean yourself up before you come to the cross. You don't have to turn over habits, hurts, or hang-ups. All you have to do is come to Jesus. He'll take you as you are. And He will, if you accept Him in your heart, He will come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. Take you to heaven when you die. Give you purpose now while you're here on earth. And what a blessing it is to be a child of God this morning. And hope you enjoyed our drama that we presented to you. And I want to thank Brother Allen and the team, the drama team. What a wonderful display of what our Savior did for us. And that had been prophesied for hundreds of years and then came to fruition when He rose up out of that tomb. What a blessing this morning. What we're going to do now, we're going to have our men come down. Our two angel men come down. And look at those two angels coming. Boy, I tell you, God can do anything, can He? This is going to be our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Give you an opportunity to give to the Lord first fruits of your increase. And so we're going to pray, and we're going to do this. And then I'm just going to share a mini sermon, if you would, just a few words out of the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. And then at the end of that, we're going to give you one more time to respond at invitation. But also it's going to be, and that will be our second invitation this morning, but also it's going to be a time for you to give above a tither offering, a special Easter offering. And our men will come back after the mini message, and then Brother Dakota, he's actually going to sing a special while we take up that special Easter offering. All right, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name this morning. And Father, Friday was good, but Sunday's here. Sunday's here. I'm thankful, Lord, that You got up out of that grave. God, let us just take a moment and think about what happened. Many people have died in the name of religion. But Father, if we go and visit those tombs and cemeteries, we'll find their bones. But according to the Word of God, which the Bible says, His Word shall endure to all generations, this blessed book says, He's not here. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Oh, Lord, that's Christianity this morning. That's what we embrace, a living Lord. That's how we know we have eternal life in heaven. That's how we know we have a purpose on earth now. We have power to be a child of God. It's because He got up out of that grave. And we're thankful for that. Father, I pray that You'll bless this offering, this time when we collect tithes and offerings. God, we know that a tithe is 10%. An offering is anything above a tithe. They're two separate things. But Lord, help us to just honor You with that right now as we move forward in the service. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. All right, men, go ahead. I tell you what, while they're doing that, if you have your Bibles this morning, and I'm sure you do, or an electronic device you would like to turn on and power up, or perhaps follow on the screen in just a second, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 this morning. Again, what a blessing it is to be able to stand one more time in front of God's people. And I count it a double blessing and honor, especially on Resurrection Sunday. And 1 Corinthians 15 is known as the resurrection chapter of the Bible here in the New Testament. And we know that in this chapter that Paul had came to the Corinthians and he had preached salvation by grace through faith. That was the gospel message. No works. And we know that there were a group of people called the Sadducees. They were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. It's a good way to remember who the Sadducees were. And so there was some complication there in the church and among the people. And someone came in and said, there ain't going to be no resurrection. There's not going to be no future. What is Paul talking about, a future resurrection? We see that the Bible says, thank you. The Bible tells us in verse number 12, listen to what Paul says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? This chapter you've got to look at verse by verse, precept on top of precept, to fully understand what the argument is. How say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? I believe he's talking about a future resurrection here. And so Paul begins to break it down to nuts and bolts so that they could fully understand why there will be a future resurrection. Again, verse 12, he says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? That's like an emphatic statement. He's saying something futuristic. How say some among you that there's not going to be a resurrection of the dead? Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, if there's not going to be a time where those who died in Christ, their bodies will be raised incorruptible, if that's going to happen, then that means Christ was not risen from the dead. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. You see where he's going with it? He is telling us and he is driving us back to square one. The dead will rise because Christ arose and became the first fruits of those that sleep and are slept. Verse number 16, the Bible says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep or died in Christ are perished. What a horrible thought to think this morning that all of our loved ones and family and friends that accepted Jesus. I mean, listen, if he didn't get up out of that grave, they're gone. There will be no reunion day with our family and loved ones if Christ be not risen. There will be no great homecoming reunion day someday. There will be none of that. There won't be a heaven. There's not a place called heaven where the Bible says no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. All of that is false. We are all hopeless and helpless. And when we die, we will just be in an eternal abyss of nothingness. I remember when I was a little boy, I was about 13. And I can remember riding down the road one day. And I was sitting in the back seat of the car of my parents. And I remember plainly we were going down Hurt Road over there in Austell. And the thought occurred to me, man, when I die, there's just going to be nothing. I was trying to ration and reason that when this life is over, then I'm annihilated, removed from the face of the earth. I have no conscience of nothing. And how sad that kind of thought was for me. I know now Jesus was working on my heart at an early age. He was working and He was moving and He was getting me to want to search out what's going to be hereafter. And so the Bible says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Perished. Verse number 19. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We're of all men most miserable. If Jesus was only good for here and now and not later, how could we fully enjoy that? There's going to be a dread to follow. I remember going to school, and some things I do remember, Brother CJ, about going to school. One thing I remember is lunchtime. Amen. PE, and when the weekend was. And I can remember Saturday and Sunday. Boy, I was having a good time. But there was this dread Monday. Monday school. Man, that dread, it just... you ever had a dread? Maybe it wasn't school for you. Maybe it was, I don't know, a doctor's appointment coming up that you dreaded. Maybe it was even some kind of issue in your family that you must deal with and you dread it. You know, dread. Dread is terrible. And so he says, if we have hope in Christ in this life only, if Christ sees us through here, supplies here, walks us through the valleys here, we celebrate Him on the mountain here, and He provides and gives provision and purpose here, but then we die, we perish, we're going to be miserable now because of the dread. But I got news for you this morning. Christ arose. He's alive this morning. Verse number 20, but now. I feel like running with this pulpit going like this. I'm glad it don't go forward, only sideways. But now, in Christ, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those of them that slept. In other words, he was dealing with the Sadducees and all the other people and saying, listen, because Christ got up, He set the example. He's the first fruits. Because He got up, we will get up one day. I want to say that the cemetery is not the dead end. It's not going to stop there at the graveyard. Don't get it twisted. When you die, your spirit goes to either heaven or hell. But the Lord is going to raise the dead one day. I love John chapter number 11 and verse number 25. Jesus said this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What a blessing. Listen, I'm not going to sing, but I kind of want to make up a song and sing right now. And I just want to say, if you come to my funeral, I drop dead today. I drop dead tomorrow. You come, Christy Lilly, family, friends. Don't you grieve for me. I'm going to be more alive than I've ever been. Those who die are planted in the ground. But there's coming a harvest one day, and we're going to get up out of that ground, and our spirits are with God until that resurrection day. This isn't a day we're celebrating Buddha. This isn't a day we're celebrating Muhammad. Their bones are in the tomb. But if you see right there, Jesus is not in the grave. He's alive. Let me look a little further. Nope, he's not there. Hold on. Nope, he ain't there. Jesus is alive this morning. I'm so very thankful he's alive. And because he's alive, guess what, church? Our faith is not vain. The whole operation of faith, the whole idea of faith, everything pertaining to faith, the advantage of faith, what faith produces, believing God for the impossible, all of that is true this morning because he got up from that grave. The Bible says in verse number 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain." Your faith is vain. But verse 20, But now is Christ risen from the dead. Because he's alive, what I'm preaching right now is not in vain. You know, sometimes we preachers, we come to church and teachers and drama team members and trying to portray the gospel. Nobody responds and we don't hear any good reports of salvation. And listen, sometimes the devil will get on our shoulder and say, it's all in vain. Nobody wants to hear the gospel anymore. Well, listen, because Jesus got up out of that grave, we may not see the altars flooded. We may not see these things in our time, but we know that the Word of God will not return void. And we know that our preaching is not in vain. Even if nobody comes to the altar, if nobody responds, we will still get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord, God is a God that saves. God is a God that loves. God is a God that provides." If nobody comes to the altar, I'll stand here and say, God is so good. God is so great. God must be preached. He must be lived out. What a blessing this morning to know that Jesus is alive. What a blessing this morning to know that we're not spinning our wheels. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord this morning. Our preaching is not in vain. Every now and again, we'll see a little crop, won't we? According to one of the parables in the Bible, the four souls, one out of four, the Word of God falls on good ground. And so I'm not about to attempt a math equation right now. I can barely breathe. But what I'll say is, if one out of every four, there may not be no reaction, there may not be no response, but I know that word is falling on some good ground in this church. I may not see it in my lifetime. You may not even see it in your lifetime. But you'll pass it down to your children. They'll pass it down to their children. And somewhere along in the family tree, there's going to be a branch shoot forth that someone says yes to Jesus. And someone accepted him as Savior. And then another branch will come. Another branch will come. All because God's word does not return void. And God's word is sure. Our preaching is not in vain. This morning, what a blessing. Look at verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Think about that. To Paul speaking, to be an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. And I'm not meaning no harm or anything, or I'm not saying anything ill to any other denomination. But there are no real apostles today, my friend. There's nobody alive who was alive 2,000 years ago. If you're here this morning and you're 2,000 years old, wow. Just wow. You know, I can say this morning that I wasn't there when Jesus came out of that tomb. I wasn't. I wasn't an eyewitness to that. I'm not 2,000 years old this morning. But can I tell you what I am a witness of? Witness of my life before Christ. And I'm a witness of me trying to change my life. And I'm a witness of getting up out of a bed, having a horrible hangover, no job, no future, no career, high school dropout. I'm a witness to that. But this morning, I'm also a witness that on November 19th, 2002, this high school dropout, drug addict, drunkard, cusser, fighter, brawler, whatever you want to say, I knelt at the foot of the cross and Jesus saved me. My life has been resurrected. The old Justin has been nailed to the cross. This is a new man walking before you. I'm not perfect. Listen, you can ask my wife. You can ask my daughter. You can even ask my stupid dog that I'm not perfect. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus, He changed my life. I want to be perfect. I want to be different. And all of this is possible because Jesus got up out of that grave. Dear God, Jesus always blesses preaching on Him. Let me say this. Because He got up out of that grave, we are not false witnesses. Keep on sharing your story. Keep on being a witness. Keep on telling people about our Lord. Guess what? Verse number 17. Oh, I did some bad things. I did some bad things before salvation. Me and my brother has had opportunity to do a lot of reminiscing, haven't we, Chris? Thank God for it, man. And some of those moments we've had lately were moments where we actually grieved together over some things. He would say, I would tell him, hey, Chris, you remember this night when we did this and that? Man, I feel so bad about that, Chris. Chris said, yeah, Justin, I remember that. You remember this? I do. He said, I feel so bad about that. But you know what? The conversation always came back to the cross. That no matter what we did or who we are no longer yet in our sins. We have been forgiven because Jesus got up out of that grave. What a blessing this morning that He's alive. Verse number 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Like the old commercial goes, Our family and relatives that believed in Jesus, He was good only in this life. He didn't get up out of that grave. They're perished. Christ arose, and because of that, I'm going to see my mama one day. Christ arose, and because of that, I'm going to see my daddy one day who spent his days hanging off a ladder and painting houses. My sweet mama who used to work from can to can't to then some, who used to discipline me and my brother because she loved us, didn't want us to get away with anything. There's coming a day when I'm going to see my family. All because of the day that we're celebrating. This is the end of Passion Week, church. But the end is only the beginning. What a blessing. Those who have trusted Jesus as Savior and they're gone, they're not perished. There's coming a glad reunion day someday. Let me say this, verse number 19. We mentioned it a moment ago, but in this life only we have hope in Christ. We're of all men most miserable. Verse 20, but now. Wow, what a big but now, huh? Amazing, but now. Is Christ risen? This is an apostle of Jesus speaking who's seen His resurrection, who was called from his mother's womb, separated unto the gospel, that was going to persecute and kill the church, but he was knocked down one day. He seen the light. He heard his voice. He answered the call. And now he's saying, I seen the Lord rise again. He said, this isn't my words. These are Christ's words in another place. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Listen to this. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. I want to ask you a question. We'll bring it to a close in just a moment. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? He's coming back for those who have accepted his plan of salvation. Though, listen, this is Bible. I can't tell you the good news without the bad news. Those who are left behind when Christ comes will be going through the most terrible 7 years of their life that will end in delusion and death. We're not going to get into all of that right now, other than saying that for the Christian, this life here is the only hell we will ever see. And for the lost person, this life here is the only heaven they will ever see. I'm asking you this morning, put your hope and faith in the finished work of Jesus that died for you, was buried, and walked up out of that tomb so that when you die one day, your family can stand confidently and say they weren't perfect. But one thing about it, mister, they were forgiven. Amen this morning. Amen. Do you know them? The Bible says in Proverbs 27, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. We're not sure of tomorrow. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You've heard the gospel enough, friend of mine. You put it off enough. Get saved today. Trust Him as your Savior today. And watch what God will do in your life. In conclusion this morning, Brother Dakota, if you want to prepare your way in the next minute or so. I really love the transition in this chapter. Look at verse 25 while we're here. I'm sorry, 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? I mean, that's a good question, right? How's it going to happen? I mean, Paul's having to take them the elementary route on the resurrection. I mean, no doubt the power of God will raise the dead. But some men will say, how were the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool! I can't believe the preacher called me a fool. Thou fool! That which thou sowest is not quickened unless or except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. If Jesus doesn't come first, we're all going to have a funeral. Somebody will stand over you and eulogize your life. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, but then there's going to be a spiritual body. Where do y'all see what I look like over there? I mean, it's going to be better than this. I'm going to be able to hula hoop to a Cheerio. I don't know, that's kind of tiny. That's real tiny. We die, we mourn, we grieve, we lay our loved one to rest. But that's the natural order of things. But I want to say, Jesus turns graves into gardens. I remember we had Miss Lucille Turner's homegoing service a while back. And God had me in these scriptures when it was my turn at the graveside. Oh, Miss Lucille was a blessing to me the years I've known her. Many of you have known her numerous amounts of years. Brother Ben as well. Miss Lucille, all I could think about was her physical body is being planted, but that's not the end of it. Look, when you go to plant a seed, it's good for nothing while it's above ground. I was actually watching something on Fox 5 News the other morning. A lady from Pike Gardens she was talking about tomatoes. For some reason, I was getting excited about, I think we might plant a tomato, Christy. Just one tomato. I don't need a whole garden. I just want to analyze it. You know, you get the pot, you get the little wire, you plant it, you water it, it loves sunshine, and it grows. I don't know. I'll be 43 next Saturday. I know that's not old, but to me it's getting older. And I'm just thinking about the natural way of things now. And I think it's the Lord and how I've been inspired from His Word. I want to know how things work. I want to know the process of things. You put that seed in the ground. It's imperfect up here. It has so much life in it, but it has to be buried. You bury that seed and you put dirt upon it. And the rains come and the heat and the sunshine, all of that. Hello. I'm a tomato plant. Boop, 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 boop. Y'all know I got to throw a little humor in there. If I don't, I'll lose my mind. But something happens. I will say this in conclusion. Something happened in that tomb when Jesus was buried. He was planted. And 3 days later, He came out, being the first fruits of everybody after Him. I got up. And so all those that die in me, though you're dead, yet shall ye live. Jesus is turning graves into gardens. Listen, we germinate. Things happen. God's will is done. I said all that to say this. The Bible talks about that. Verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 58, at the end of the resurrection chapter, therefore, because this is not the end, because even if it gets the worst, you will die. That's still not the end. That's the beginning. Life will only begin then. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, so therefore, because you are surrounded with goodness and God's love and mercy and power, you will be raised one day, power to serve now. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know not that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's coming a payday someday. Oh, yeah. It may not be here, but according to God's word, it will be there. But while we're here, God says, I'm not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He said that you showed in my name. And another place says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What a blessing. We're on the winning side. We're a winner either way. I wanted to say this morning, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those that slept. What we want to do now, we're going to sing Brother Dakota, our dear Brother Dakota. He's going to sing a song, and this is going to be, men, if you want to make your way down. I know we've done a lot of giving this morning, and I know how things are financially. Don't feel bad, please. Jesus don't want you to feel bad coming here knowing you can't put nothing in the offering plate, so don't go there, okay? You're here. That's enough. But if you can, in honor of our resurrected Lord, if you can, I want to say this, even if you have a quarter, because of the heart motive you're giving, it's just like you gave a $100 bill. And that's gospel truth right there. Amen? So I'm going to pray. Dakota's going to sing. And the men are going to take their time going down the aisles in honor of Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We adore you. I pray, Lord, this is also invitation time, our second invitation. If someone needs to come and receive Jesus, I'll be here. Jesus is here first, but somebody, myself, someone will be here, whatever the need. Maybe someone is already, maybe someone who wants to come, they're already saved. No finger pointing, no laughing. We're here because of Jesus. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. Bless this offering for your honor and glory, Lord, that we may pour it back into the ministry of this church so that we can continue ministering right here in Powder Springs. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Brother Dakota, he's ready when you are. Let's wait till Dakota starts singing before y'all start moving, just so we have plenty of time.
Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood, God saved. But since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved.
Feel free to come, anybody, this morning.
I'm undone by the good mercy of Jesus.
You need to come pray this morning.
I'm undone by the goodness.
Let's do it.
Of the Lord.
Come on, guys.
I'm restored and made right.
Are you restored?
He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. Could I want more?
Got a couple coming. Anybody else?
I've received nothing
yes.
but goodness.
Come on. The place to find help this
morning. I've tested and tasted your grace.
Don't let anybody pray by themselves, church.
I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved.
It's Easter Sunday.
I'm under by the mercy of Jesus.
Let's go.
I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right.
Yeah, bless you,
he got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. I could, I want more.
What a blessing this morning. The love of God.
The love of God. He gave me his body.
Amen.
The love of God won't let me stay.
Thank God it's unconditional.
The love of God, he pulls me up higher.
Yes.
His will is stronger. That's why I got saved.
Come on, young person. Come and trust Jesus as your Savior. I'll pray for you right now.
I'm undone by the mercy
Don't die and go to hell. Let's go. Come on.
I'm undone by the goodness.
Christian, you need prayer?
Lord.
I'm here for you.
I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I've been restored and made right. He has a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
All right, listen, guys. This isn't the end. We're going to sing that song one more time. We still got some praying. We are not rushing just to eat chicken. Okay, this is church. This is God's house. We want to do business with the Lord. Let's play it one more time, brother.
Randy, can you do Come Jesus Come?
There you go. Let's get something going.
Sometimes I fall.
Listen.
To my knees and pray.
Come on.
So come, Jesus, come.
Yes.
Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel,
come on, guys,
like I'm gonna break.
Let's don't play church. Let's meet with Jesus this morning.
But I'm holding on.
God wants to do something great.
To hope that won't fade. So come, Jesus, come.
Last song before we leave.
We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. But deep down I know
what's holding you back this morning.
This world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
He's here this morning. He wants to meet with us.
And there'll be no war. And there'll be no change.
Amen.
When Jesus comes,
yes.
Let today be the day.
Amen.
He'll come for the weak.
It makes perfect sense. Come on and be saved.
The strong just the same, and all will believe the power of His name. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long.
Anybody else?
For the day you return to heal every hurt, to right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Down I know this world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. One day He'll come.
That's right.
We'll stand face to face.
Think about it, church.
Come lay it all down.
Nothing else will matter.
'Cause it might be today.
It shouldn't matter now.
The time is right now. There's no need to wait.
Yes.
Your past will be washed by rivers of grace. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt.
Amen.
To right every wrong.
Yes.
We need you right now. Come and turn this around.
Only he can turn it around.
But deep down I know this world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
Amen. Well, what a blessing. This morning, thank you, Brother Dakota. Thank you for all those who responded. And I know this isn't the only place to respond is down here. You can do it right where you're at. You can do it on the way home. You can do it at home, wherever, the workplace, school. But thank you so very much for coming. And for those, happy Easter. For those, happy Resurrection Sunday. Just all the way around, it's just a wonderful, wonderful day today, and going to be for the rest of the day. No evening service tonight. We just want you to spend some time with those God has blessed you with, and keeping him on the forefront of your heart. And when you get ready to go tomorrow to whether it's school or work, if there may be some dread in there somewhere, just remember, he's alive. You can see it on the screen. That tomb is open. The tomb behind me. He's alive. All dread is removed. He will give you power to do what you need to do. You will make it through tomorrow. I promise you. All right? Okay. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And then you'll be at liberty to go. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you so very much for the horrible, horrible torture, really, and agony you felt upon the cross. I could not imagine the emotions. In all of your humanity, you cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, what a dark, dark moment. There was darkness over all the land for several hours. But Lord, I am thankful that you knew your Father's plan. You knew he didn't turn his back on you, because once the Father makes a promise, it's there to stay. And thank you for raising from the grave. And Lord, thank you for this Bible that's still here after all those years. God, help us in leadership. Help us, even just individual Christians in these last days, be willing and bold enough to share the gospel message. In love, of course, but in love. We love you today. We praise you. We thank you. Keep us safe. Help us enjoy this week. Bring us back safely on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. You're at liberty to go. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.